So hey, welcome. My name is Will. If we didn't get a chance to meet, I am the pastor. I'm the one to blame if you think it's crazy. It's probably my fault. So I'm glad some of you guys got dancing. I sense everyone was a little bit asleep this morning. So maybe you didn't go to the bake sale yet, but check that out. There's plenty of good caffeine and sugar type items out there for you probably. Let me put up a couple. I've been having an art project and I'm not very artistic, so you guys will have to bear with me. I'm an art teacher. I was an art teacher this week, so that did happen. But welcome, guys. We've been talking about the Holy Spirit, and the fact that you came back, I'm extremely impressed, because what I really did, last week I fully intended to preach most of the way through this week this sermon that I'm sharing with you today. That's where my notes were going, and then I believe the Holy Spirit redirected me, and he said, I want you to give them some information. And so what I proceeded to do was take a fire hose and unleash it on all of you across your face. And that's about what you looked like at the end of that hour, okay, together. And you came back for more, so I'm very thankful for that. I'm also thankful Senior Blanco bought me some coffee, so sorry about that. Today, normally, every week but one week out of the month, we have our children's church. So today we've got family worship. So we've got the kids in here. Don't worry about it. It's not going to bother me. If they make noise, I might use them in the sermon. That's great. But don't worry about that. So we're talking about the Holy Spirit. We've got some things here on this wall. If you're on the internet, you can't quite see this. We've got Galatians 5 mentioned there, which is fruit of the Spirit. Over here, we've got signs. I've invited you into the insanity of my mind. We have signs here about verses that talk about what the Holy Spirit did. And we've been going through books of the Bible, and the Holy Spirit keeps coming up, and the awareness that God has put on my heart is that we often overlook. We either overlook or we abuse the Holy Spirit, who he is, and his part in the life of a believer and follower of Christ. So three sections of scripture that I gave to you last week talk about, in specific, Paul is talking about to early Christians in the early church about spiritual gifts. Now, these can become polarizing, but really the whole purpose of spiritual gifts is for the common good, right? So three sections, man has put terms to differentiate between these three, okay? Only one of these words is from the Bible verses that I'm sharing with you, and that is manifestation. So this is what I gave to you last week. Let me tell you this. You're not going to get it in one sitting. You're not going to get it in one year. This is something I can tell you that Brandy and I and a few other people, Brandy's my wife, in case you don't know, we've been talking about this and asking God to show us, because the church, the believers coming together, the whole reason you guys are here is that we would celebrate and worship God for what he did, Christ Jesus for what he did, and the Holy Spirit for what he's doing, right? And we would minister to one another, like in practical, real ways. And I come here and remind you of things you probably already know. And I hope that the Holy Spirit grabs whatever little stutter I can make here and fumble over, and that he would speak to you at the core, at your spirit, at your heart, and that it would help you in your life. Okay, so the Holy Spirit is huge in our ability to do this. And when we do this without the Holy Spirit, we're using like 2/3 power at best available to every believer to follow Christ and to minister to one another. Do you see how that's a problem? Okay. So today, let's have a little bit more of a discussion. Hopefully you won't feel like you got blown over by a fire hose today. So the first one, we're not going to dig into this right now. This is what we're calling the motivational gifts. It's not a word I made up. I've got it from other people. The idea is in Romans 12, verses 6 through 8, Paul is telling the believers, listen, God has put certain gifts in you. And he's listed 7 of them, which if you studied the Bible, you know that 7 is the complete number. And so basically what I've learned that he said is, like, if you watch the life of Jesus, he was all 7 of these things at the appropriate time. And my belief is partially due to how God knit you together in the womb, partially due to the place he put you in the world, in the family he put you into, you've become what you are today. Is that fair? And science wants to decide which one does it. Well, you can't take one out to really test it. So you are a product of both of those things, what you were created to be and what you've been nurtured to be. nature and nurture. Well, what this is saying is understand in the body of Christ, these seven are at work, and some of you are put together to have a view inside of these spiritual gifts. It's a starting place for you. Okay? Then it goes on to say, but guess what? For you to get beyond the one way that you normally act, you're going to need the power of the Holy Spirit to act outside of your normal behavior. Does that make sense? I mean, you know, there's things you usually do. It doesn't take a lot of impulse. Whether you give that to God for him to use, or you give it to the world or yourself to use, you will use it. Okay? A good speaking pastor is not that different than a motivational speaker or a CEO of a corporation at times. They have the ability. There's something loose in their brain. They'll get up in front of a lot of people and embarrass themselves and talk, right? It's kind of the same being put together the same way. I used to do it for the business world. Now I do it for the kingdom of God. That's because I gave it to God, and he let me have it still, and I get to use it. But I could have done that for whatever. So when I want to get beyond that, I need the Holy Spirit to show up, to be revealed, to manifest. And that's 1 Corinthians 12:8-10. As I'm going along, as the Holy Spirit fills me, these things happen. He uses me to do these type of ministries. Okay? And then finally, what will happen is if that becomes kind of more habitual, 1 Corinthians 12:28 talks about the ministries. So that's kind of a frequency of using these types of gifts. So some of them match up, right? Like there's prophet right here in motivational gifts. There's also prophecy and manifestation gifts. And then there's prophets and people who prophesy in ministry gifts. Confusing? It is, okay. But helpful. But helpful, because if we're going to walk this out, what we've presented over the last few weeks is that we really believe, based on the Bible, that spiritual gifts are not dead and gone. Okay? That they're still going to be around until Jesus comes back. But they can be abused. So I give you this information. That way, when you abuse them, I can use the scripture to correct you and help bring you back. Make sense? And you can use this on each other. You can take a look and study this and ask the Holy Spirit to reveal to you more how this goes. But what I want to do is be part of believers that actually let the Holy Spirit work in and through them. That's what I want to see. So let me illustrate one more, okay? What I've learned is the way I'm put together at a motivational level is someone who exhorts. And that word really means like I find something that's true and I invite you all to come alongside me to show you the good thing. Okay? It's why I do what I do. It doesn't tell me what I do. Now, I'm a father, a husband, a substitute teacher, a pastor, a soccer coach, all those things. I do things that aren't just exhorting. So when I need these, you better pray to God that at some point in time, the pastor of the church you attend gets some kind of utterance or word of wisdom and knowledge, right? You need that? You better hope that you have people in ministry that have faith beyond what they can see, that at times that you pray I could come to your hospital and I would pray and that God would heal you. You want that, right? Right? So this is where I start. This is where the Holy Spirit meets me. I'm not the utterance of wisdom guy. It's not mine to own. Anytime it happens, thank you, Lord. And when it doesn't, shame on me, right? Because I wasn't listening. Okay? Now, if I do this enough, and God, the principle with God is he gives you a little, right? When you're faithful, he gives you more. So when you do these things and you're more faithful, God might actually ask you to be involved in ministry doing this on a more regular basis. So I would say I've seen a lot of these manifestation gifts show up in my life, even though I'm not the word of wisdom guy. I'm Will, but the Holy Spirit might give me wisdom or knowledge to share with you. And I would say at times, right, like, so you've got over here ministry. I think at times I'm a teacher, right? At times I'm administrating here at the church. Like I went to college to learn some of this stuff and now God uses that. You know, someone might say at times I might have a prophetic word, a revelation from God that I could share with you. Please, God. So you see how it kind of flows through there? Okay. Before I make your mind melt again, I understand. We actually taught a class on this and last year I think we preached about 5 or 6 weeks on it. So if you're just catching in now and you don't get it, that's okay. Study it, ask questions, see if it would help. This is discipleship, right? I'm trying to give you something that will help. Today, what I want to talk to you about is 1 Corinthians 12 And specifically, I'm going to go 7 through 11, but 8 through 10 give you these manifestation gifts: utterance of wisdom, utterance of knowledge, faith, gifts of healing, prophecy, working of miracles, ability to distinguish between spirits, various kinds of tongues, and interpretation of tongues. Fair enough? I have a little bit of this water here. So turn your Bibles, if you're not there, to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. What I've put up on the board is the ESV version. So if your Bible has a few different words, like instead of utterance, some of those use word. So verse 7 begins like this. Actually, you know what? Before I got to pray. Let's pray again. I need to. Well, Father, I just come to you, Lord Jesus, Holy Spirit. I surrender every agenda, every one of these slides I made is open to be corrected by you. I pray that you'd use this time to just, for the common good of believers, Lord, and everyone listening, whether they're online or in person, that you would teach us, that you would grow us, and that you would speak to us. Use my words, Lord. Use the ears and eyes and hearts of the people here, and have your way done. We surrender that to you in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, to each, verse 7, is given the manifestation. See, this one I can feel really confident about because I'm giving you a word that's right from the Bible, right? This is cool. I'm not trying to pull a fast one on you. Got it? Okay, manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. The whole purpose of this is for the common good. Verse 8, for to one is given through the Spirit the utterance of wisdom, and to another the utterance of knowledge according to the same Spirit. To another faith by the same Spirit. Let's pause a second. Why does he keep saying same Spirit? Well, let me give you a little context, right? The Corinth church is full of a lot of people that have come from pagan beliefs with multiple gods. So if he's carefully telling you it's the same God and the same Spirit giving all these gifts. Don't start making the shrine to the speaking tongues God, the shrine to the prophets God, the shrine. Does that make sense? The pagan beliefs are so ingrained in their culture. He's like, be careful not to go there. Okay. So verse 10, to another working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another the ability to distinguish between spirits, to another various kinds of tongues, to another the interpretation of tongues. All these are empowered by one and the same Spirit who apportions to each one individually as he wills. Okay. So these have been called the manifestation gifts. Okay. Manifestation, the word itself, what it really means, I've kind of wrote a definition up there. The word it's translated from means an uncovering, laying bare, revealing, or revelation. So these things weren't there in one moment, and the next moment they appeared. They were revealed. They were laid bare. They were presented out. So all of these things are given by God when he wants to for that moment. Does that make sense? So a little different than something that you own and you can manifest. It's manifest through that same Spirit. Well, we can't forget that these gifts are needed for the common good of everyone who wants to follow Jesus. I believe, based on my interpretation of the Bible, that they're still active today and they'll be needed until what the Bible says is a completion comes. And the completion comes when Jesus is here, which makes a lot of sense, right? Why would you, Heidi, need me to pray for healing for you when Jesus was right there to heal you? Why Hope, would you need a word of wisdom when the source of all wisdom and truth was like face to face with you? That's when you won't need this anymore. Why would you need a foreign tongue, right, to cooperate with the angels and whatever they're praying if you're with the angels and who knows what language everyone would be speaking to each other? I don't know. You won't need it. No, it's complete. It's full. Until then, we need some of these things for the common good of believers. And don't forget, they're given by the Holy Spirit. So here's the danger in doing this. We elevate these gifts, and we forget about the one who gives us the gifts, which is the Holy Spirit. So he determines, not you, not me. I can't, as a church, tell you at 10:15 every week to manifest a certain gift. If I start telling you I can, come smack me in the face. You got it? Like, I'm just not going to go there. Like, no, I don't want to say never, right, to anything, but that, if it happens at 10:15 every Sunday, then praise be to God. The Holy Spirit can do when and what he wants. I can't tell him he can't do it, but I'm not going to tell him what to do. There was this dude in the Bible. His name was Adam. He had a wife. He liked her a lot. Her name was Eve. They tried to do that stuff. It did not work out so well. God's like, eat all the fruit you want of this, but stay away from this tree. Ah, come on, God. You know, why don't you just do me a solid here and let me eat from that tree? Did not work out so well. I'm not going to say, hey, I appreciate the gifts, God, but let me tell you when you're going to give them to me and which ones you're going to give me. No. No. So that really leaves the question, why are you melting our brains, Will, with all this information? And why are you walking this dangerous ground that could elevate the gifts over the giver of the gifts? Here's the conviction that I have. Here's the belief I have. Here's what I present to you. I believe the believers and the followers of Christ should walk as much as we can, right? Walk in the Spirit or by the Spirit, right? And I don't think that's happening. If you take a step back, if Jesus did all the work, he's the one that saves you, we should do baptismals and funerals at the same time. Right? You're saved, you proclaim it, right? So you're saved, and then you tell the world, and then poof, you're gone, because you're done. But you're not done. Your life is a story, is a testimony to everyone around you. It's a journey where you learn and grow in a way that's eternally important, right? And you become a witness to the world. And the problem is, if you're walking in the flesh just like everyone else, you're not different than anyone else. And the only thing different is what you do Sunday morning. We've been trying that for a long time in our country. It's just not working. Like, when we are made for so much more. And so let me share this with you. Galatians 5, 16 through 18 say this, but I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. For the desires of the flesh are against the Spirit, and the desires of the Spirit are against the flesh, for these are opposed to each other, to keep you from doing the things you want to do. So what we have is we have a battle, right, between flesh and spirit. What's flesh? What's that mean? Desires? Yeah. A mindset? Human mindset? The world, I heard over here. What's that? Someone else said something? The worldly view? You before Christ. These are all great answers. See, the word here that's translated, it actually can mean two things. It can mean like your actual physical flesh, like a piece of the flesh on you. It means that. It's used for that. It also means like the totality of your humanity, your emotions, your desires, your feelings, your fears, like your physical pain, the physical, emotional, all of that. It's like it's the fullness of a person. So what happens is if we're walking in the flesh, then it's like, how are you doing today? It depends on how I'm feeling. Is my stomach upset? Does my head hurt? Am I happy? Am I sad? Am I getting what I want? Are my desires being met? Am I afraid? Like every day it's this. And it's limiting, isn't it? Wait, Will, are you going to say we can escape that? I'm not saying you can completely escape that, but the reality is in the church we've got to tell you like that you just go flesh and spirit together, but that's not what Paul is teaching. Paul is teaching these things are at direct opposition of each other. And the minute you think you can play in both worlds, you're fooling yourself. And you're a 21st century North American Christian, right? This is what we do. I can have it both. It's like when you first got married, anyone who got married, were you going to do it better than everyone else? Oh, yeah, right? And then like within 6 months, you've created permanent damage to your spouse that cannot be undone, right? This is what happens for everyone because we're a mess. And we have these things going on. So here's an illustration of what I'd like to show you, because you know I love a good illustration. So let's just say, for instance, hey, Jimmy, you want to come help me out, man? Can I pick on you? So this is Jimmy. Everyone say hi to Jimmy. Jimmy, everyone. Here you go. You're officially a YouTuber again. Here you go. You're on YouTube. There you go. Again, yeah. So let's just say Jimmy's wearing this backpack. I'm just using you for your back, bro. So what happens here is this backpack is you, okay? I'll have you go ahead and turn all the way around here. It's a good thing you got this cool hair. Looks better than me. So within the fullness of you, you're going to fill your time and your thing. And so what's happening here, guys, when we neglect the Spirit and the idea that you can walk in the Spirit, and people start telling you those gifts don't operate anymore, what you're supposed to do is follow rules. That's called the law. And the law is all about flesh. It's all about flesh control. But what Paul is trying to show you, what I want to present to you, if we actually take some time to learn about this, we can reach these points in time where daily and by the minute and by the hour, we're actually taking off the things of our flesh, right? So like you got this one right here. Let's say this just represents like, man, desires. Like, but not even bad desires, right? Like I want to be safe and I want to have enough money and food. And you worry about that. That's not bad. But then you get other things that are more ugly, like lust, right? We're like created with physical needs. And once you unleash these things, it's hard to put them away. Amen? Right? There's appropriate ways to deal with this. There's inappropriate ways to deal with this. Then there's fear because you live in a world where everyone's lying to you. Fact, I don't care where your political view is. The world is lying to you. I don't care what you think about social media. Everyone is lying to you for their own personal gain. And money is more important than your good. So there's fear. I'm afraid I'm going to get fooled or bamboozled or whatever word you want to use with your generation, right? So you got fear that's always in place. And then you've got these other things, but then you got the pastor who's always kind of talking to you about things like, and he starts telling you about technology is bad. So sometimes you've got like this technology and this productivity in your job and your work and you're filled or consumed with these things. Not always bad. But then you get kind of vices and addictions and things that are very harmful, right? Those kind of fill your time. And these are all part of the flesh. And now I'm going to present something that's going to really offend some of you, but that's good because you probably need to be offended. Sometimes you get this too. What I'm holding here is the Bible. And what I've learned over time is that we have so many wrong beliefs. And sometimes our wrong beliefs keep us from being filled by the Holy Spirit. And don't run to see, that's you already ran when I said filled with the Holy Spirit. Because you have a connotation for what that means. If you've been here, if you're just here today, you're kind of freaked out about what I'm going to do next. But if you've been here, then you know what I'm talking about. But you have a belief system and a wrong, and you've created the Bible as a God instead of the God who wrote it. Not too different than those who have used these gifts as the God instead of the God who gives them. And so sometimes we've got to cleanse our belief system and come before God and say, I need you to teach me new. And then you have other things, but here's, you guys hear that a lot, right? At church, you hear those things, you know, they pick on all your habits. But here's a new thing for me. I don't know what I'm doing here. Kind of a newer thing for me is there's guilt and shame too. There's guilt and shame, and you are imperfect in your ability to forgive the people around you. If I wrong you, you might maintain a relationship with me, but you never forget. And so the one thing that you do is you hold on to every good and bad thing you did in the past. You have a record. You have a record. And you begin to think that God's not good because he hasn't come through in certain things. You remember when God failed you? You remember when you failed God? And you think that something has got in between you. Something has got in between you that you can't get out of the way. And so you refuse to believe that God would love you as much as the Bible says that he does. You refuse to believe that God would forgive you deeply and completely through Christ Jesus. You refuse to believe and receive the fact that God is good, even in the things that your church never told you he was good about. And so what I've learned is as long as the flesh is taking that position, as long as the flesh, my fears, my insecurities, my attitudes, my wrong beliefs, my desires, as long as those become more important than God, then they're pushing out the ability for the Spirit to work. You're pushing out. Well, thank you, Jimmy. Appreciate it, man. Give him a hand. Now, what you've seen here, and how do you do this in a practical way, Will? You want to be used by the Holy Spirit? Let me ask that as a question, actually, instead of rhetorical. Do you want to be used by the Holy Spirit? Okay. Now, based on what I could say, help me, and this isn't for you, but what you've seen, okay, so that doesn't convict you. What kind of flesh things get in the way of God using you? What's that?
All of them.
All of them? Well, be specific for me. Help me out here. Busyness. What? Time? Time. Fear. Pride.
Not trust.
Not trust. Shame.
Insecurity.
What's that?
The list.
Yeah, right. There's productivity. Then there's like these desires, right? Because everyone wants to be loved and accepted and cherished. Everyone wants to be, you know, even if you're not a touchy person, at some point in time, you need human contact. Right? In psychology, we study this. Sociology, you study this. Like, watch the coronavirus when everyone locked themselves up in their house. They were nuts because they didn't get the touch, the feel, the conversation. You want those things. And those aren't necessarily evil. And you want to eat, right? You want to eat every day. You want to be warm. You want to be safe. You want to be understood. You want to be, right? You're entitled to all these things in our culture. And they plug up our ability to be used by the Spirit. And I'm afraid what we've done is we've taken these lists, right? We've taken these lists, in particular, the one over here you can't see on the screen, okay? I'm going to walk off the screen. This is why it's good to get the cheap seats up front so you can see this. This is called Fruit of the Spirit, Galatians 5. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, self-control, gentleness, faithfulness, and goodness. So what we've done instead is like, we've told you when your pack's full of all this stuff, hey, while you're at it, be loving and be gentle and be kind and be self-controlled and be this and be this and be this. And so you're trying harder. So your list gets bigger, your time gets less, your fear gets more, and you are doing nothing with the Spirit. And so you can age 80 years, still love God. And I'm not telling you that you don't have the Holy Spirit. I'm just saying you're utilizing it. And I'm sure in my heart that some of us are going to get to heaven and be like, dang, I missed out. Like anyone who's an adult, if you could go back, you'd be like, I was so blind I missed out on something. Do you have those feelings sometimes that you have to kind of give back to God? Imagine how bad that's going to be when you, we're going to know more and we'll be glad that everything worked out the way it is, but there's got to be at least a thought to say, dude, you blew it, man. Like it didn't have to be so miserable. Right? If you could just teach a high schooler that it's only 4 years and it's over so quick, like no matter what you were, don't get too full of it or don't get too sad about it. Like it's over. And then once you leave that, 10 years goes really fast. And when you're 18, 10 years is most of your life. But when you're 50, 10 years is like, dang, now I'm sir, right? That's what happens, or ma'am. You know that now. And so if Pastor Will can say, stop a second, and there's more here than we're willing to let on. But what I want to present to you is your part in this is going to be a lot less about focusing, how can I do a gift of healing? How can I do a gift of healing? How can I have an utterance of wisdom? That's not the focus. The focus has to be, how can I put away the flesh so that the Spirit can operate? Right? How can I put away this flesh? If you want to focus on something, which we want to, because there's got to be something I can do, right, Lois? There's got to be something I can do. When these things pop up, you give them over. And it might sound stupid, but Lord, like, because the Holy Spirit's a helper. Holy Spirit, Lord Jesus, like, I'm feeling afraid. I feel like I should go this direction. I feel the Spirit's leading me, but I'm afraid of what will happen. I give you that fear. And then you do it. Everything with the flesh, your focus should be get rid of all the stuff that gets in the way of the Spirit. And then these things happen. Then these things happen. So let's go through a couple of these items. Okay, first one, utterance of wisdom, right here. The words here, I'm gonna geek out on you guys a little bit because you've been told, right, or not told, how to practice these things. We have our own church words, our own religion for this. But let me just get you back to the Greek, okay? And then we'll go from there. Utterance of wisdom. Some says word of wisdom. The reason why they say that is the word logos, that is translated utterance or word, actually is a Greek word really meaning speech, right? So the word itself, even though in church we've made that to mean the Bible that was written down, it's only called that because it was spoke by the Holy Spirit to men who wrote it down. It's a spoken word, principle, or thought. It's also used to refer to a universal divine reason or the mind of God. Jesus was the Word, and the Word was God, right? And then wisdom has to do with a broad and full intelligence used of the knowledge of very diverse matters. So what's a word of wisdom or an utterance of wisdom? Help me out. Have you seen this? Like, really, I want you to speak. So if you've seen it, you got an example. So if it's a speaking of some kind of intelligent thought or knowledge, what's this look like? Mm-hmm. Right. So what she was saying is it's like there's this like wisdom, right? That comes to you, but it comes supernaturally. It's not something you studied or learned, right? It's probably something you could have researched maybe sometimes. Most of the time, it's something you probably could have researched and found out, but you didn't. You just knew. And how you know you've done it was like, how in the world did you learn that? Like, right? Or like someone that loves you, like, where did that come from? Like, not to boast, but I have had this said to me at times, like, wow, that was actually a pretty wise thought. Where'd that come from? And then when you realize it wasn't anything you studied, you know the Holy Spirit gave it to you at that point in time. The danger is because he did that for me once, that I can just sit up here and have like a desk and you can all come up for all the words of wisdom you need. Not the way this works. Okay. So there's one, yeah. That is a brilliant question, yeah. Could it also be scripture, right? Which is the word of God. It's like a new understanding, right? It's a new, like, it comes alive to you. That's why they always say that the Bible is living. Because you read the same verse 100 times, you heard it preached, and then you see it a new way. Like, that's the Holy Spirit, right? That's why the Bible is so powerful, not because the special, like, ridiculously thin paper is printed on. But it's because the author of it can also read it to you, right? That's the power of it. Now, one that's very confusing is you have utterance of wisdom and utterance of knowledge. So the utterance is still the same. It's a spoken word. But the gnosis is the word that we translate knowledge. And it really means knowledge or awareness. So it's often used for personal or experiential knowledge rather than intellectual knowledge. It's like the knowing. It looks a lot like that, but how did you know that? I don't know. I just did. And this can manifest itself and be like, okay, being a pastor, like Brandy and I, we've been in sessions where we're kind of counseling, listening to people about their experiences. Well, if you just look at the age of me, you might wonder how old I am, but I'm not a grandpa yet. I don't have grown kids. I don't have in-laws. So like you got those kind of problems. I don't have experience to help you. Spouse is dying, divorce, cancer. I don't got any of that to help you. So anytime I would pray with you, and if God would tell me something or show me something, then that would be a word of some knowledge that I didn't obtain by natural means, but by supernatural means. You also get this. How can you know this when you're so young? And this happens with these youth a lot when I'm talking with them. Like, wow, how did you just know that without going through it? Because you can learn it by going through it. That's natural. We're talking supernatural, knowing. Well, can you see how confusing those two are? Does it matter which one it's called when it happens? Really, does it? No. No, can we just set that aside? But interesting enough that he put those at the first of the list. Because could anything else be more helpful for you? Could anything else be more helpful when you need it? To have that, to have like wisdom from God or knowledge from God to help you. If he would use other people in your life through the Holy Spirit to help you, that's the day-to-day stuff you need. Like they heal your grandma from cancer, you're going to be excited for a little while, but eventually your marriage is falling apart and you're not going to be excited that your grandma was healed. You're going to forget about it, right? But in that moment, what you're going to need is some kind of knowledge or wisdom on how to understand what's going on in this moment. That's extremely helpful. You see, God's not crazy. He's not going to like give you a rock when you want to fish, right? Or give you a rock when you want bread. Like he's going to give you what you need. So all you can do is empty yourself and be available. And then in third on the list is faith. So this word faith refers to the conviction of the truth of anything. Like in the New Testament where we see it written in the scriptures, then it's a conviction or belief respecting man's relationship to God and divine things. Now, so could you see how important it would be that like you just had faith? I just have faith about this, guys. I don't know why. There's really no reason for me to feel this faith and to feel hopeful. I just do. I know it's going to be okay. That's what it looks like, I think. Now, with all those three things, let me ask you this question. Would it be okay for you to pray for those when you need them? Yeah. Yeah. And could reading the Bible, could being part of a small group fellowship, could it help in those times? Sure. But I think the Christians, we need to get back to that, like, man, I don't have the knowledge for this. I don't have the wisdom for this. Man, I don't even have the faith to know that everything's going to be all right. Holy Spirit, I just hand over the fear. I hand over the expectation, and I'm asking you, I just empty myself so that you'd fill me with these things that I need. Now start hanging out with a person like that. Start being around a person like that. If you're that person, they're going to start asking you some more questions. And when stuff goes down, which it will, you'll be the one they call. Now that's what they call the witness. That's what they call a testimony. That's what they call a story. That's what they call a weirdo follower of Jesus, which is kind of what we're supposed to be, right? And then we go on to this, gifts of healing. Man, we love that, right? And it's, looking at the original words, it didn't give you any insight. It really is healing, remedy, medicine. So it's this gift at the time that Jesus can use a person, right, who has the faith to do it, to pray and that God would respond, that you would pray and it would change the circumstance. But once again, I think from personal experience, what I'd offer to you is this idea that you don't just always be the healer. Because sometimes a person has to be afflicted with what they're afflicted for the purposes of God. So you empty yourself, you empty the expectations. If I come to your hospital bed, hopefully I don't just automatically say, oh, please heal them, send them home right now. Hopefully what I've learned to do is start to say, let's just pray, Lord, what can I pray? What are you praying? What are you hoping for? And maybe what he wants is just pray that they would get healed. And then once you pray and in unison with the heavens, right? When you pray with what God's praying, then miraculous things happen, right? But we've got to hand over that. Of course you're supposed to get healed every time you're, no. Like, I would love for this whole virus to leave our land. Because for us in our community, it's probably more annoying than scary, right? Right, because we've been fortunate or blessed, whatever you want to call that in our community here, it hasn't created a lot of devastation. So you want that to go, but I'm learning to pray like, God, finish the work you want with this thing and then move it on. And if I'm supposed to get it and I'm gonna pass away from this is the end for me, so be it. But do your work. Let it happen, but I pray that you'd heal our land. Is that fair? Okay, working of miracles. We love this, man. This would be great, right? Especially our friends in the mission field. You guys have told me some stories about this. I think our faith is so little, we don't see this enough, but there's miraculous things that happen. And that is, once again, it's not a fancy definition from the original language, but it's the effect or extraordinary event in the physical world that surpasses all known human or natural powers as ascribed to supernatural cause. So, it's a force or a working of a miracle that doesn't have a natural explanation. It is supernatural. That's a miracle. We do need those sometimes. Right? We do need that when you got the pizza party and you're running short. I'm just kidding. But we do at times. You have stories of that. People will be overseas. They'll be feeding people. There doesn't seem to be enough food. And somehow, miraculously, it's like that bowl just never quite empties out. Right? It's like the loaves and breads. Those things happen today. And if we empty ourselves and we trust God, then he can do those things if he wants. Now, here's a big one, prophecy. So the word prophecy, Paul kind of totes this as one of the most important gifts out there because it does the most for common good. But our thought about it is this, that it might be about like future telling. Well, really the definition here, this means speaking forth of the mind and counsel of God. That's what the word means. So it's a speaking forth, right? So if you prophesy, that's the idea that you're speaking forth some kind of mind or counsel of God. Now, the word can be used to describe a gift, and sometimes that isn't an active word, it's a noun then, right? But it can also be used to exercising the gift, which is a verb, where you're doing something. Much of the Old Testament prophecy, the word when it's used in the Old Testament, was a predictive thing, right? Telling the future. You guys with me? Okay. But it's not necessarily or even primarily foretelling. It's the word's forthtelling, right? So it's telling what's there. It's the declaration of which cannot be known by natural means. It's the forthtelling of the will of God, whether with reference to the past, the present, or the future. Can you see how this would be an important gift and an important thing that you need at times? It's kind of that revelation of the heart and will of God. And you better pray that your pastors and stuff get this from time to time. And it can be confusing because you, even though you might not be a prophet, can be revealed the will or mind of God at a time, right? He could even let you know that something's coming. It's entirely possible. But in order for you to access this gift, it's only given by the Holy Spirit when and if he wants and when he wants. I will tell you what you're going to find with this is for you to have the belief to run with it when he shows you something, that will take time. And those who are faithful in that, it'll probably happen to more often. Like you might know people that they seem to have almost a ministry, right? This is a weird one because certain people, the idea of being at a motivational level of prophet is the idea that you are so focused on truth, it becomes the plumb line for you and you see naturally things in the supernatural world. It's just how God's put you together. But that's the beginning, not the end. It's also a manifestation gift. So people like me who are definitely not a prophet from a motivational level prophesy at times. Please God, give me some kind of revelation, right? If I'm supposed to speak every week to these people. But that doesn't make me this, and it doesn't necessarily mean that I'm a prophet by ministry. It's confusing. Read these Bible verses, pray about it, talk more about it if it fascinates you. Now, because the idea of a prophecy can be kind of a gift or an action, just because God revealed to you something doesn't mean that you have to share it. Sometimes it's simply a gift of information. I see the prophets nodding their heads, yes. Sometimes the most powerful thing you can do to change the atmosphere around you is simply to pray. So if you want to walk out a gift of prophecy, if you get that, right, just as me, I have to be careful, which sometimes I fail, of giving you way too much information, then you retain nothing, right? God has to show me what to share and when. And that would be the same for anyone in a prophet gift. Okay, next, the ability to distinguish between spirits. So the words really mean to distinguish, discern, or judge spirits, right? You get the idea of the spirits, wind, breath of air. So some people, in a moment, you'll just know, like, what's going on with that person or sense what's going on around you in the spiritual realm. It's divinely given to you to help you. And I think that's one too. When you have the faith and the eyes to do that, he might give that to you more often. I know some people in my life that are like that. They'll meet somebody, they'll be like, something's off. I'm like discerning something's off in their spirit, and I'll be like, oh, I missed it, right? But they don't necessarily have to go up to that person and say, oh, by the way, Billy, there's something really wrong with your spirit. Right? No, they pray, they're aware, right? There's always the next question. Holy Spirit, you're giving me this. What do you want me to do with it? Take it home and pray about it, or go tell them. Sometimes these gifts for the common good aren't always positive. Does that make sense? Sometimes the exhorter, sometimes the prophet, sometimes the one distinguishing spirit, sometimes the word of wisdom can be corrective, can be convicting, but that's still for your common good, even though it's not for your common pleasure. Is that fair? Okay, your mind melting yet? We're getting close. Various kinds of tongues. The word here, various, so different types. Tongues, that same word is used for the actual physical tongue, right? In your body, the part on your body, or languages. So is it like all of a sudden you're turning into a bunch of different tongues? No, that's not what happens. It's more the languages. We've beat that one to death over weeks. The fact that Paul says there's tongues of men and tongues of angels, and both of those can be at play. Tongues of angels is more prayer-based. This one is fancy, gets all the attention, but really is the most useless in a congregation. It benefits and edifies the one who prays, right? The tongue, and I believe it is supposed to be in the church, so there's a place for that because it can be a tool to use for prayer, agreeing with God, fighting against the enemy, changing the atmosphere of what's going on. It's an important tool, but it's gotten way too much glory, and that's why Paul always puts it at the last of the list, because it's really for you. Okay? Various kinds of tongues, and then the interpretation of those tongues, and that becomes important if you're ever in an environment where other people are around and that's happening. What in the world did that person just say? Heebie-jeebie-deebie didn't do nothing for me, right? Like, but God loves you, and this would be a lot more helpful. And that's not to demean that. But see, there is the list of those. So I'll kind of leave these around for a while. Now, I would present to you that what I would love to see is I'd love to be pastor of a church who is walking in the Spirit, okay? Walking by the Spirit. Who's always wanting to know what the heart and mind of God is. And that's why we're doing this section of study before we go on to our next book. That's why we're talking about the Holy Spirit. I want it to be more normalized. We tore down the camps of, no, don't go there, and always go there. We want to come to truth. We want to be a fellowship of believers who's saying, you know what, I'm open to the fact that, Jackie, God might be speaking to you. And you don't have to be the pastor or an elder for that to be so. So how in the world do we do this, Lord, in an orderly and proper way? And this is the questions that we're asking. So I give you these tools so that you know, like, man, if you got the gift of tongues, don't hide. Would you pray for us? But I'm not going to give you the microphone to do it. That God didn't ask me to do that. But man, if we're worshiping and it comes across, don't like shut it down. By no means, man. Pray, because I don't know what the Spirit's telling you to pray for the person across here or for our nation or for our church, because I need the atmosphere to change. I can throw these words, but whether they change your life or do nothing, it's all up to you. If the Holy Spirit puts that and burns it in you and it takes you home and it changes you, that's on him. That's not on me. And so all the prayer that I can get. And man, if you would pray for one another, and if God would show you things that you knew what to pray, and he told you when to go share something, and he told you, right? And you listened and you obeyed, that would be great, but I can't make that happen. You can't make that happen, and shame on us for always trying to take the Holy Spirit, which is so huge, as Genesis says, he was like over the whole darkness and expanse of the world. That's how big this dude is. And yet every Sunday, most of us try to get our arms around him like some little blanket that we can just squish in and fold into a nice little brick and take with us. I can know his beginning and end. Shame on us, Holy Spirit. We don't know what you're doing. We don't even know what you're capable of. We don't even know the breadth, the width, the height, the depth of your love, your power, and your amazingness. And so me, I have to prepare you to get in the right position in order to be used by the Holy Spirit. Because I got a feeling from talking to so many of you, we need this, and we know we need it now. We're tired of just information, just truth. We're tired of just truth that doesn't transform. And we're tired of just emotion led by the Spirit, which just makes you feel good one minute and then crash the next. What we want is the Spirit and truth. We want the marrying of the fullness of God, the mind of God, that he has got order, but he's got power. He's got love, but he's decisive. He's gentle, but he's got wrath, right? Like he gives you the baby's laugh, but he also gives you the hurricane. It's the same God that has all of those things. We can't get our mind around it. So all we can do is this. Paul says in Philippians, it's this. He says, Philippians 2, 5 through 8, he says, have this attitude in yourselves, which was also in Christ Jesus, who although he existed in the form of God, did not regard equality with God a thing to be grasped, but emptied himself, taking the form of a bondservant and being made in the likeness of men. And being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on the cross. What I have to exhort you to is, guys, we need the mind and the heart of Christ. Studying won't get you there, although it's important. Miracles won't get you there in itself. The way that Jesus came to earth and took the full form of man, right, without giving up his deity, the only way he could do this was empty himself over every desire and every entitlement. I mean, do you think for 1 minute that Jesus wasn't hungry? Yeah, he was. When he was hungry, he was hungry. Think for 1 minute when he was cold, he wasn't cold. Men, do you think that when Jesus saw, like, some of the stuff he saw in the sexual realm, okay, in this world, that we fall victim to? You don't think he was tempted in those areas? Women, don't you think that he really wanted some emotional connection? Don't you think he wanted a nice fancy home and a good career? Don't you think those were like offered to him? That's a cool thing, man. We're not like some religion with a God who has no idea what we're going through, but one who's been through all of this. I can only imagine what he was tempted with in the wilderness, right? And what Jesus did, how he walked in the Spirit, how he was all seven of these things, like interchangeably, he just knew. He knew when to be truthful. He knew when to be honest. He knew when to cry at a funeral where he fully expected to raise the dude from the dead in a few minutes. He still cried with them. How nonsense is that, right, for some of us? But he knew in that moment to be that. Do you want to be like Jesus? I do. So what it's going to take is this. It's going to take day by day, handing over every desire, right? Every entitlement, every wish, every hope, every fear, all the wrong things you believed, so that you can be emptied of those things and filled with the Spirit. I want to ask the worship team to come on up. Let's just pray about this, because if you're in agreement with me about this, then we'll ask the Lord to do this. Can I just say, by way of being honest, like, this I'm not good at yet. This I'm not good at. I know that's not proper English, okay? But that's me too. Like, I lay that aside, but here's what God is showing me. I've got a lot of blessings, including some I'm looking in their faces right now, right? But I have to give those to God. I have to empty myself of even those things that I desire and that I want. And so this is something I'm practicing. And so I invite you, like I said, I'm an exhorter, guys. I'm not the teacher who just wants to give you the information. I'm to exhort you to say, come with me, here's where I'm at. I am trying to, in every moment when these things come up, when it's fear, or when it's lust, or when it's hunger, or when it's pain, or when it's pride, like, I'm studying this so I can know more who I am and how God made me. And so when these things come up, I don't let them stay. I just call them out for what they are. And I'm like, Lord, Jesus, and I even have to throw away time and time again the fact that I think Jesus won't take it back from me. Like, he's mad at me. Like, I had this thought or said this thing, so like, I'm in time out for 2 weeks with God. It's just not the way it works. It's not the way it works with God. He gave us the story of the prodigal son, where that son who took his inheritance, went and spent it on partying and women and food and whatever drugs and things he could get into. His dad didn't hear from him for a long time, and he saw him running over that hill, and he literally ran to him. He ran to him. This is the God that we have. Do you get that? He didn't send a messenger out, right, Jackie? He didn't say, can you go ask him if he's done with all of that? For all he knew, he had a whole slew of prostitutes that had debts for what they did with his son. For all that he knew, his son was coming back for more money. For all that he knew, his son was like, party at my dad's house. But he ran out, man. He embraced him. He didn't have a conversation saying, are you sorry for what you did? But that is how we see God. Right? That's how we see God. It's trash. That's like a wrong belief. It's a wrong belief. So we got to lay that down, and we come with an empty backpack, and then fill me, Lord, if it's prophecy, if it's love, if it's patience, if it's even that cuss word, self-control, that no one likes. Maybe that's what I need right now, but I give you everything. So let's pray, Lord Jesus. There's just so much here, man. There's like fear, like, there's desires, and we live in a world where even the people closest to us are struggling with the flesh. And we get tired and we get hungry and we're like over-caffeinated and unrested. And we got social media lying to us and the news lying to us and our friends lying to us. And everything is over-sexualized and over-chemicalized, right? You drink caffeine all day and alcohol all night so you can sleep. It's just insanity. And so we just give it to you, Lord. We give it to you. And so, Lord, I just give everyone here a time right now. So, Lord, we give you, and it's our turn to fill in the blank. Lord, I give you the desires I have for my kids. I want them to be okay. And this is just my list, guys. Lord, I give you the love I have for my wife, the things I want and need from her, the companionship that we have. I give you this church. I want it to be glorifying to you. I give you my health and my body. I give you any of the money that you have. I give you my friends. I give you my pride because I love to be loved by people. I give you every entitlement. We give you what addictions tie us up, what things we give ourselves over to you, Lord. We give you the news and the election. We give you this coronavirus. We give you masks and plexiglass and 401ks and IRAs. We empty ourselves to you right now, Lord, of every fear and every insecurity. I ask you, Lord, as we just go and we're praising you through music, that you just fill us with you, that whatever it is, that your spirit would come, would overcome, would overwhelm us, give us peace or joy or laughter or whatever it is that you want to give us, that you would come, Jesus, and give us just what we need. Holy Spirit, apply the work of Christ Jesus in me and everyone here. I pray this in his name. Amen.